Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and with me this week, I have my good friend, Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
Konbanwa.
Oh, Japanese this week. Nice. Yeah,
just a little bit.
Yes. I've been practicing. Nice. That's good evening. I know that one.
That is. Yep, good evening.
Yeah. Lovely. That's very cool. Welcome back. We missed you last week. Hope you had a good week off.
I did.
Yep. We've got a nice lineup of items to talk about this week, from a demo that's out, a few new games coming out this week that we wanted to talk about, and something we're playing as well. But I wanted to start things off with another bit of a Mario theme, because this has been a bit of a topic lately. Last few weeks we've been talking Mario, with Mario Wonder coming out, but also the voice of Mario, Charles Martinet, we've heard recently that he's stepping down from the role. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But during this last week, Nintendo released a lovely message, a heartfelt message from Charles Martinet to fans, sort of confirming what was previously announced, that he is the official Mario ambassador. Did you check out this video on X or Twitter?
I did watch it.
Yeah. What did you think?
Well, I had a couple thoughts.
Okay.
The first is that I'm glad to see Nintendo kind of like getting out in front of this. You know, they could have done it like some other people have, where they just suddenly there's a new voice and you don't know what happened or why. And then there's outrage and there's speculation and all social media gets. Mm-hmm. So it was good of them to announce it. And then, to release this video with both of them speaking, I thought it was great. I mean, how could they have used the word joy anymore?
Yes.
and they should, because, I mean, that's what Nintendo is, right? They have joyful games. It's a joyful company. And Charles is a joyful man.
Very joyful, yes.
So, it was a nice message, you know, them acknowledging each other, acknowledging Mario, acknowledging the fans. It all just felt very friendly and warm and good for him. He's going to get paid to just travel around and meet people and, doesn't really even have to do the voice work anymore. I think it's fantastic, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the voices sound as we get deeper into the games. And like, are they going to have one person taking over all the roles that Charles played, or are they going to split it up?
That's a good question.
Multiple people. So I'm just curious to see where it goes and what the new actors do with these characters.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be multiple, to be honest. I don't know why, but I just have that feeling. He did a lot of voices, as we know. So big shoes to fill. But yeah, I just have this feeling maybe Wario would be someone else as opposed to the person who does Mario, whoever that is. But yeah, it was such a lovely random video to drop. And Miyamoto was part of it as well. If you haven't watched it, just check it out. It's probably on Nintendo's YouTube, I'm guessing, or definitely their Twitter channel. And what is it, like, I don't know, 5 minutes? It's not super long or anything, but they go back and forth.
Maybe three and a half, I think.
Not super long. And it's just them going back and forth and thanking each other. And it is very nice. Like, it's very warm, like you said. It's a lovely video. It made me feel very happy to watch, actually. I think, and like you said, it is very Nintendo in that sense. You know, Nintendo kind of has this reputation of being more of a family-friendly company, and the consoles and the games are generally speaking aimed at families and being accessible to a wider audience. They're about bringing joy to people and happiness. And I think Mario definitely falls into that category. You know, my kids and I play it together. Yeah, we love it. And you can really feel that enthusiasm from Charles. You know, I would love to meet him at a conference. I think he'd be so fun to run into and take a photo with. He's just, I don't know, enigmatic. What's the word you would use to describe him? He's just bouncing with.
I'd go with big. That's
big.
I mean, in personality, and apparently in stature too, considering the story that Miyamoto-san told about him almost hitting his head. And I like that. I like just like that one little memory that always stuck with him. And then he shares with us, knowing how they view each other and those just little tidbits that they carry with them as the relationship progresses. It's fun to get that kind of access.
Totally. Yes. I mean, these two obviously have known each other a long time, like Miyamoto said. And like we know, Charles has been doing Mario's voice since the mid-90s or 96. Miyamoto's, you know, the father of Mario. So he's been involved since the beginning. He created Mario. So, you know, to have that relationship and that rapport and almost that love for each other, it's just lovely. It's very special. So we're very sad to see him leave the voice of Mario, but I think they've done it in a nice way, like you said, to be upfront about it, to address it. And, you know, we haven't heard who the new voice or voices are, but we'll find out when Mario Wonder comes out, and it'll be in the credits, like they said a few weeks ago. So I hope everyone treats them well and it goes well for the new voices. But yeah, in the meantime, Charles is definitely not going anywhere. He's just taking a different role now, and yeah, still continuing to bring happiness to people across the world. So yeah, I'm just wondering if he'll be, I don't know if he'll make it to Australia, but PAX is coming up in about a month down in Melbourne. And I'll be there for that. So if there's any chance he's there, I'm going to be pretty excited. So
that'd be great.
We'll see.
Great. Yeah. Or maybe we'll meet the new. You know what? I hope the new voice actors are someone or some people that we've never heard of.
Yes, I agree.
I want to just be a quality voice actor who maybe has done a few other things, but isn't someone where mm-hmm. we'll be like, oh, you know, great. It's or, oh, no, I can't stand that kind of thing. Just someone who was hired completely on ability alone and not mm-hmm. any sort of name recognition.
Yes, I totally agree. I hope that's the case as well. I think it will be. I don't know, speculation, but yeah, I'm actually secretly hoping that Mario Wonder will be playable at PAX in a month, because it's out in October and PAX is, you know, early October. So I think it was playable at the recent Nintendo Live event in Seattle, as far as I've heard. So yeah, hopefully I can get my hands on and report back with any updates. Mm. Anyway, so yeah. Yes, thank you. Me too. Yeah, so moving on, this is a demo. So we talked about Lego 2K Drive quite a few months ago, because I think it came mm-hmm. out in May, perhaps. It came out a while ago. And it's, I don't know whether it's not selling well or what the rationale behind this is, but there is suddenly a demo on the Nintendo Switch for Lego 2K Drive, which made me very happy because I was quite excited to try it. It's not a cheap game, so I didn't really want to jump in and pay, it's like $90 in Australia, so I didn't really want to pay $90 for this thing. But the demo, I was very happy to try, and I gave it a good go just yesterday. And it's not very long. It's not like Pikmin 4's demo, which was quite robust. It's more of half an hour's worth of play, I suppose. But it's enough to get you sort of dip your feet into the game itself. And I quite enjoyed it. I actually found myself really having a good time with it. So I am tempted to buy the full game now. It is on special. I think by the time this podcast airs, it may end, or that day. I think it ends on perhaps Monday. Or it might be Sunday, but it's this weekend it is 33% off. So I'm tempted to get it while it is on sale. But it's a very fast and fluid driving game, essentially.
Yeah. Was there anything about it that surprised you, or that you didn't have right with your expectations for what it was going to be?
I suppose I thought, you know, I'm thinking about Lego City Undercover, which is one of my favorite Lego games, probably my favorite Lego game, actually. And I wanted something a bit like that. It's not like that. It is like that in the sense that you can drive around and smash everything in your path, which is quite fun. In fact, in 2K Drive, you can smash a whole lot more than you can in Lego City Undercover. Basically, anything that's not a building, you can just drive right through and smash it. So it's pretty satisfying. I had thought that I'd be able to get out of my car, though, which is one thing that I suppose is different to every other Lego game, because normally if you're playing, you know, DC Villains, you know, you're driving around in cars, but you can get out and walk around. Lego City Undercover, obviously, you can drive in cars or get out and drive around. You can't seem to do that, and that's fine. It's a driving game. You can change your vehicles easily enough, but you can't really just walk around freely. So it's not that sort of open world. It is open world in the sense you can drive throughout around the open world, but it's not, you know, not walking as well. That was one thing I wasn't sure about, and now I know. So, yeah. But it's still, I like, what I really like is how fluidly you change vehicles when you cross different terrain. So you'll be on the road and then you'll go off the road and suddenly you're driving like a quad bike as opposed to a sports car or something. And it just
automatically switches.
It just switches. It's so fluid. It's like a transformer, but it's really, really fast. It just flips. And same when you hit the water. So you can jump straight into the water and you change into a boat automatically. And you don't lose any speed. You don't lose any momentum. You're just continuing, but in a different vehicle for that terrain. So that is really well done. I really like that. I think it's, and like I said, it's very fast. It's quick. It's a quick driving game. It feels a lot faster than Lego City Undercover. You have a boost as well. You can do, the Y button gives you the kind of this quick U-turn ability, which is really cool, really neat. You can power slide as well. There's a few moves there. I did enjoy it. And like I said, I don't know if it's not done well or not. I did see this a couple of weeks ago. I was going to mention this, but it didn't affect Nintendo players. It was free on other consoles for a weekend, the game. So you could play, I think this was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, on PlayStation or Xbox, you could play Lego 2K Drive for free for the entire weekend. That wasn't the case for the Nintendo Switch, but we do have a demo now. So I just, it makes me think maybe it hasn't done as well as they've expected and they're trying to get the name out there a bit more by giving people more chance to try it, which, you know, hopefully that works. It is worth trying. I'd say give the demo a go for sure. It's free anyway. Why not? But it is pretty short. So you can do, I think you do 2 missions, one race. You meet a couple of people. Yeah. It's fun though. So
what are the missions like for single? I mean, I imagine racing, it looks like it has for single system or local wireless, it's 2-player and online it's up to 6-player racing. But what is the single system like?
That is a good question. Yeah. So, one mission was just a pretty simple, well, it was to teach you this Y button kind of U-turn business, and you just had to drive around and smash as many mushrooms in a field as you could during a set time, basically. So you're just driving around, mushrooms keep popping up like Lego mushrooms, and you just smash into them. That was one mission. And the other one might have been the race, actually, which was 2 laps around this kind of area with... There was water and tunnels and roads and stuff, and it was pretty fun. I won pretty easily. So you kind of meet this mentor. He's like a retired racer, I think. I can't remember his name. It's something funny. The names are very funny, and there's like these news presenters who are quite amusing as well. It's all very, you know, pun heavy and sort of silly, I suppose, in a Lego way. You know, they kind of make it loud and fun, and that's sort of, that's carried across from something like Lego City Undercover. So far, maybe not as clever in the humor as Lego City Undercover, but amusing nonetheless. Yeah. So it's something like Racington, you know, it's like Brad Racington or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can choose, I mean, this is the demo, so I don't know how far you can go in the full game, probably a lot further, but you can choose a different avatar for your character. There were maybe 3 or 4 to choose from. I assume you can unlock more kind of, you know, outfits or profiles, or whatever, as you go. And there are different kind of worlds or areas to unlock as well. This is just one area in the demo, but there's a good little map system. You can use waypoints, which reminded me of Zelda a little bit. Like, you can use waypoints to easily track where you're going. So it's very easy to get around, very easy to navigate, and you can jump and kind of almost fly. I haven't flown. I don't know if there are planes in this game, but you can go so fast that when you jump, you do soar for a time in your car. That's kind of fun as well. And yeah, definitely the smashing is heaps of fun. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether I do get the full game. I think I have a day to decide. So okay. Yeah.
Well, and if you do, it looks like there's also an awful lot of DLC that you can
add. Yeah. I'm just not comfortable. Yeah.
Drive passes, past seasons.
Right. Like, why didn't they just make the base game a bit cheaper then, if there's so much DLC? I don't know.
Yeah.
I really think that's why it's failed. I think it's too expensive.
Yeah, I think when people see passing, like for seasons, it sounds like on top of the price, you're also having to basically subscribe to get additional content.
Exactly.
Although they do have, Drive Awesome Edition and Drive Awesome Rivals Edition.
Mm.
But The one, the most expensive edition here when it's not on sale is $120 US.
Wow. That's very expensive.
It's on sale right now for $80.39, but still.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I mean, it's a lot for a Lego game that's not using any characters that we are familiar with. It doesn't use, you know, it's not a Marvel superhero game. It's not Star Wars. It's not even using our the characters from Lego City Undercover. These are all new characters, which is fine. They're probably great characters, but we don't know them. So we're not having, there's no nostalgia. There's no reason. It's not like a sequel to anything we've played before. I do love the idea, but yeah, I don't know if it's been, I don't know if this is the best way to roll it out. And maybe, you know, they're obviously trying. They're trying to get it out there with free weekends and free demos and stuff like that. And discounts, I suppose, as well. Lego games are not, they're not new to discounts, that's for sure. Sometimes you can pick up, you know, Harry Potter or Star Wars for quite cheap if you keep an eye on the eShop. So, yeah, maybe just keep an eye on this one as well. Yeah.
And speaking of that, I wonder why, unless they don't have licensing for it, you mentioned that you don't know any of the characters, but you would think that they would make something like the Batmobile be available for DLC.
That's a good point. I wonder, and I can't say for sure that it's not, but looking at the list that you have in front of you, like there's nothing like a DC pack, right? So
I don't see anything that would brand anything in particular.
I don't know if it's from a different, you know, Lego or Warner Brothers or whatever has different little, I don't know, companies that or developers that make different games, and there's a bit of licensing issues and partnering issues. I don't know. It sounds messy, honestly. It does.
Yeah, I suppose. And you couldn't have Marvel and DLC or and DC DLC side by side, can you?
That would be fun, though. That would be actually pretty fun. I'd love to see. I don't know. What's a Marvel vehicle? Do they have vehicles in Marvel?
I don't. Wonder Woman has her jet. Batman has the Batmobile, and Spider-Man have the spider car.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Spider-Man and Batman can race together. Yeah. Missed opportunity. If it was, you know what, I will say this. I've said this before, maybe not recently, but I would love a Lego City Undercover sequel, and I don't know why that hasn't happened. Why has that not happened?
Absolutely agree. I'd be all over it day one.
Me too.
$120, I'd still grab it.
I probably would. I probably would get the deluxe version for that because they're characters that I know and love. And I know that the first game was super fun. And we spent, like, it's the number one game on my Switch. It's like the most played game still after Tears of the Kingdom, after, you know, Mario Kart. It's still the number one title. So definitely well worth it. So anyway, we can dream. Maybe one day. Even if Lego Drive was just an offshoot of something like that with Chase McCain racing. I don't know. Yep. That could have worked. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Back to Mario again, because last week Trevor and I did spend quite a lengthy time talking about the Direct, the Nintendo Direct about Mario Wonder. We were very excited about that. There is one thing I didn't mention, though, which I completely forgot. And that was that there is a new OLED. God, how do you say it? Is it OLED? I can't even say it.
I just say OLED.
OLED? Okay.
But I don't know if I'm right. So, you know, whatever you want to say, I will not judge.
Okay. Thank you. Hopefully listeners also won't judge. So there's an OLED model, OLED model Switch coming out at the same time, or just before the game, actually, sort of early October, which looks awesome. And I've been saying for years I should upgrade my Switch. This could be the one to do it, but it's so close to potentially, this is the fear I've always had, is that as soon as I get an OLED, the Switch 2 is going to come out, right? And now everyone's saying 2024 is Switch 2 year. Should I really risk it on a pretty expensive upgrade? But it looks awesome. It's got like, so it's sort of red. And I think there's a thing where you fold it down. Some in the dock, maybe, I think. Oh, sorry, it's been a little bit since I saw the trailer for this, but there's like coins on the dock hidden behind a little flap or something. Like when you open like maybe it's where the USB goes or something. Yeah, it's really cool. It's like a couple of little emblems encroached into the thing. It looks really cool. It looks really nice. And you have an OLED. model, right?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that my kids have been playing a lot of Switch lately with Pikmin 4 and Tears of the Kingdom. I found myself kind of needing a second Switch. Maybe. I don't know. It's not a cheap exercise, but I could do it. I could have a second Switch, and then it doesn't matter so much. They also need to fight over it, but I will just have mine.
Yeah, are you? Would you take the OLED or would you let them?
I'd have to take the OLED, right?
Yeah, okay. I did the same thing. Yeah, absolutely.
I do. Yeah, and I remember you saying when Tears of the Kingdom came out, because Mario and Zelda are kind of like my two things. So when Zelda came out, I got the Pro Controller, right? And mm-hmm. that's my controller now. And I think you said something like, you said something about upgrading. As a way to, what did you say? I can't remember now. Because Harrison didn't have a Pro Controller, he got my kind of hand-me-down. And I think you said that upgrading for yourself was like a good excuse to give your kids a controller kind of thing. Do you remember that?
I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but yeah, that's always been my justification for it.
Yeah.
Well, now we don't have to fight and they get their own. And,
yes.
And,
Yeah. So how many Switches do you have in your household?
We have two right now. Mm-hmm. The original Switch Sophie has taken with her to college. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I justified getting the OLED.
Yeah.
Was I knew she would want something. We also have a Switch Lite, which doesn't get used a lot. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a backup for if one of my kids is playing a game and I got to review something, then I'll mm-hmm. sometimes pick it up on the light. Or when we travel, then we have two.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's but cool. Yeah, after using and the OLED, looking at first of all the smaller screen on the Switch Lite, but also the mm-hmm. one that's not OLED, it just seems so old. So and you know what? That's something to consider that might justify upgrading now to the Mario mm-hmm. OLED. Because all the rumors I've seen for the Switch 2 are that it is not going to have an OLED screen, at least on first launch.
Oh, interesting.
To help keep, they say it's to keep the cost down. It could be a supply chain thing. And we don't know if that's true. But if you are not planning on trading in your Switch for the new one, then you would at least, if you're going back to the previous Switch to play games, have a better screen in handheld than you would on the new one. So that's something to consider.
Yes, that is true. I do wonder, and I mean, when the Switch 2 does come out, if it's backwards compatible, because that would make a huge difference as to whether you would keep your Switch or not.
The latest rumors I've seen, again, all rumors and speculation at this point, but people mm-hmm. are saying that it is, I've seen that it is going to be backwards compatible, but that it's going to use a new type of media for the games. So there was, I guess, the DS. One of the DSs had both like the Game Boy style cartridge, mm-hmm. but it also had the DS, the smaller DS chip card or whatever we're going to call that. So they've done that before where that's they've had two completely types of things. And technically, the Wii also used a regular size CD while the GameCube used the mini CD. Mm-hmm. But the original Wii still also used the GameCube's mini CDs.
Mm,
The Wii U did not. So
that's true.
But I again, rumors, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens and, fall in love with whatever it is. Who cares?
Yes, exactly. That's a good way to look at it for sure. Yeah. We don't know anything obviously until we hear from Nintendo. and I guess it's a bit of a side note, but I did hear someone saying they thought Nintendo would announce something at the upcoming Tokyo Games Show, but I don't think they will. We've talked about this before. I think the timing is all wrong. Why would you announce a new system right before, a new Mario game, and two new Mario games, really, with RPG coming out in November and Detective Pikachu? People will be less likely to invest in these titles if they're going to hold out for the Switch too. So I personally don't think the timing is right, but anyway. We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah,
it'd be weird also to release a new OLED model like the same month that you announce a new Switch, I think, if you wanted to have sales. Yeah. Anyway.
I think unless the Switch 2 is just right around the corner, which again, all the reports I'm seeing are saying that it's not, it's 2024, but it would be back half, then I don't feel that it makes any sense to announce it, you know, almost an entire year in advance and right before the shopping season, unless you also use it to justify like a, we're going to lower the price on the Switch to help move any systems
out. Yeah, true. Who knows? Okay, well, there's a couple of games coming out this week that we're looking forward to. And one of them we've talked about recently, which is Super Bomberman R2. And that's coming out on the 13th, which is Wednesday. It's a couple of days after this podcast launches. And I'm looking forward to getting my hands onto that and reviewing it because I'm a big Bomberman fan. Looking forward to seeing what new mechanics are in store. I know you had your hands on time with it not long ago at the Konami event, so that's cool. And there is an article on the website if listeners do want to see sort of a preview. But yeah, if you're a fan, it is coming out this week and should be quite enjoyable multiplayer mayhem, I think. I'm looking forward to playing with my kids. Absolutely. We love the first one on the Switch. We've got that. We actually bought it. I was given it physically for my birthday, and then I ended up downloading it. I think there was a sale or something, so I had it just on the Switch, which makes it, you know, a lot easier to jump in and play, you know, anytime you want sort of thing. Some games like that, like I wish I had done that with Mario Kart because it's just annoying sometimes to have to go and get the actual game card and just like switch it over kind of thing. Yeah. So Bomberman is
trying to remember where they are.
Yeah. I try. I do have a pretty good system, I think, but sometimes they just get mixed up and lost and it's annoying. But games like this, I think that you play regularly, you know, on game nights or something, especially multiplayer titles, I think, are good to have, you know, downloaded on your SD card. So yeah, we'll see. And this one will be for me, so that's cool. The other one that's coming out this week is Mythforce, which would you like to speak to that one?
Yeah, this one, it was included in a Nintendo event, I believe, a while back. And it's coming to us from Aspyr, which is a company I've praised in the past. They've done a lot of wonderful Mac games and have now branched out to many different platforms. But Mythforce, the big hook on it is that the graphics look like the style of animation we got in the cartoons in like the early 80s, early to mid 80s, maybe even late 70s. Specifically for me, it calls to mind, there was a cartoon that came out, I think it started in 1979, based on Flash Gordon.
Right.
It was done by Filmation, and I love the first season of this cartoon. I thought was fantastic. It completely hooked me as a kid. Of course, and that was even before I developed an intense love for Flash Gordon's character and and bought all the comics and the movies and the books and a giant library wall I have of filled with Flash Gordon. I think the style from watching the trailer on this maybe is a little after that. It's more of like what were those like He-Man and Thundercats and that kind of stuff. It's got kind of like a rock soundtrack, whereas Flash Gordon didn't. But the funny thing is, after watching the trailer and looking at the game, it really isn't my kind of game. But I'm going to get it anyway, just because I love the way it looks. It's an action multiplayer RPG, but it's a roguelike.
Yeah, okay.
You either on your own or with a group of up to four people with these defined characters that you know, call to mind some of the characters that you would have seen in those cartoons. They're going into dungeons and castles, and you're going as far as you can, and then you die, and you go back and start again. But now you have some better weapons, and you have better experience, and you just keep pushing further and further into this. So it's not exactly set up like a cartoon would have been, where they had these long season-long story arcs. The first season of Flash Gordon had that, where you watch the whole season to get the full thing, and I think season two was more of an individual kind of every episode stood alone. But the animation looks fantastic, the combat looks good, the characters all have their own sort of unique weapons. You've got a mage, you've got an archer. You've got thief, and you have the knight with the sword and shield. And so whether you're, I don't know how it's going to work in the single player. I'm looking forward to trying it out to see. Multiplayer, obviously, everybody takes a character and just goes. So I don't know if in single player you're allowed to swap characters, or you just have to do the best you can with the one you have. But that is coming out early next week, I believe on the 12th. And it's only $30, so it's not as expensive as some of the other big games like this. But really looking forward to seeing it, and whether it quite captures that magic of waking up on a Saturday morning, watching Flash Gordon and Godzilla's Power Hour, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely has that look, that's for sure. Is it a first person game?
It's funny you say that, because there are elements in the trailer that make it look like it is. And then there are some elements in the trailer where it doesn't look like that. So I don't know which parts are cinematic and which parts are actual combat.
Right. But interesting.
We'll find out in a few days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's almost a bit like Dungeons and Dragons with the different, classes of characters, I guess, like an archer, a thief, a mage. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you do get to fight skeletons, and the more skeletons you can put in anything, I don't care what type of movie it is, it could be a romantic comedy, and if you add skeletons to it somehow, I'm
yeah, for sure. I do remember you saying that about, I think, Vampire Survivors. You said that about
your, yes,
it's got
to, and I'll say it again.
Yeah. Every time I see a skeleton on screen now, I do think of you, Kirk. So.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing cooler. Nothing cooler than a skeleton walking around with a sword.
Yeah. Agreed. Definitely. Yes. Yeah, that one looks really cool. So I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that one when it does come out on the 12th. So let's move on to some games that we are currently playing. And there's a bit of a mix of old and new in this list. And the first one, yeah. Which is cool. And the first one I wanted to mention is my review title, which is called Marble It Up. I think it's actually Marble It Up Ultra or something. It's basically a marble racer, I suppose you could say. You know what it reminds me of? It's like a cross between Mario Kart and Sonic the Hedgehog. Because you're a marble, like literally a marble, you know, like a spherical glass object. And that reminds me of Sonic rolling around when he's in his, you know, circular rolling form. But it's like a 3D Sonic in that sense, because you're kind of third person view of this marble. You're behind it and you're racing through levels of, I don't know, there's curves, there's jumps, there's enemies, collectibles, and there's a goal at the end, and essentially it's timed. So it's the Mario Kart element is that it's almost like a race. It's a race against time, at least. And you get to the end and you hit the goal, and that's it. That's the end of the level. So it's very fast. It's a really easy game to just pick up and play, a level or two here and there. The levels are not very long. They're quite succinct. And each level introduces sort of new elements. There's some, ice levels. There's definitely some huge jump levels or very curvaceous levels. It's pretty fun. I've only just started it. I'm only a third of the way through, I suppose. And what I really like about it is that there are 6 worlds, and I think there's about 80 levels all up. So each world has, 10 to 15 levels in each one. You can't move between worlds without unlocking them. But when you have, say, you're on world one, you can choose any of the levels to play in any order you like. So you can play level 1 or level 10, doesn't matter. You just have to do about 7 of them and finish 7 of them before you unlock world 2. And then out of the 15 in world 2, you have to finish 7 of those, unlock world 3. So it's not like you have to grind your way through each and every level in order to get to the next world, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I like that, because like if there's one that's really giving you trouble, you can skip it.
Exactly.
I applaud that. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. I actually really love that the developers have done that. I love games that kind of make it not super, structured or difficult to progress. And that's the case here. There's also heaps of replayability, factors. For example, I mentioned the timing. You have to sort of race against the clock. And if you do well, you get a gold star. You know, if you kind of don't make that metric, then you get a silver star or a bronze star. So if you want to go through and, you know, complete it 100%, then you're going to go through and race and get a gold star for each and every level. So there's that aspect, which is really fun. And the other thing is that each level has a collectible, and these are like skins for your marble. So everywhere in the level, there's like a little hidden thing. You just pass through it. You know, you're a marble, so you just have to drive through it, and you unlock a new skin for your marble, and every level has one. So you can also go through and try to find all of those, which is super fun too. There is a multiplayer mode, which I haven't tried yet, to be honest, but there's more than just this single story mode that I'm talking about right now. But I'm really enjoying it. It looks really nice. It's very smooth. It's very colorful. I love the different skins of the marbles. You know, currently I've got one that's like, it looks like a, what do you call it in America? It's like pool, billiards. Do you call it billiards?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Either pool or billiards.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Depending on the game.
Yeah. Right. So, it looks like one of those, a blue ball. I don't know. I don't know the technical term, but it has like a number on it with a circle. You know what I mean? Like a colored ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my current skin. And you can, when you find the skin in the level, you can equip it straight away, but you don't have to. It's pretty fun. So yeah, that's my current review game. And, I will have to try out the multiplayer side of things, but
is it anything like Super Monkey Ball?
Yes, it is a bit like that. That's going back a long way. I think I've only played one of those games. Did that have tilting involved in it? Like, did you have to tilt things?
I can't remember. And that was actually going to be my follow-up question, was how you control it on this. When I was, again, going back to the 80s, there was an arcade game called Marble Madness, I believe. And it wasn't like this. It was, there was like a maze, or like a kind of like a pattern you had to, with a roller ball on the arcade cabinet, you had to kind of like spin the roller ball to move your marble without hitting various obstructions or falling off ledges, get to the end and then do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But that roller ball was a great way to control it, because you could finesse it. You could speed fast when you needed to, you can move slowly when you wanted to. And I know in some of these games, they try to do that with the gyroscope of the controller, mm-hmm. and I've never quite been able to get that. So are you using that in this game, or is it more of a, like a, just an L-stick kind of control?
Yeah, it is. So you do sort of accelerate with, I think it's like ZR, and you can move your perspective with the right stick. Like, you can look left and right. So it's sort of three-dimensional that way, but yeah, you're not, I don't know if there is an option for this, but in the default settings, at least, that I'm playing, you just use a controller. You're not sort of using motion controls or gyroscopes or anything like that. It's all just based on buttons and control sticks. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I'll check the settings and see if that's the case as well. But yeah, it definitely didn't say, like, do you want to use motion controls or do you want to use standard controls? Sort of looks like it's standard. But maybe in handheld mode as well, you could use that feature. I don't know. I'll check it out. Okay. Yeah, but you're right. It's hard to do well, I think. It can be a bit sensitive to the movements of the platform around you. So it's, yeah, that's why it feels a little like Sonic, because it's almost like a platformer, you know, in that you kind of have these paths to follow. You have enemies to jump over or avoid. You kind of get special powers along the way as well. Like, you get boosts and high jumps and things like that. So you roll through these little power-ups, and then you can do like a super high jump, or, you know, a super speed of energy, a burst of energy. There's also like a feather that lets you kind of float a bit when you're jumping, so you kind of maintain your height for longer to pass bigger gaps. So there's a few little extra things like that that you uncover along the way that sort of keep it interesting and not stale, because, like, I can imagine 80 levels of just driving a marble through platforms might be boring, but these seem interesting enough to keep you going. Yeah. And like I said, the incentives to replay, I think, are quite good if you're a completionist or someone who just likes to, you know, there's a little tick when you get that little collectible in each level. It sort of ticks a little box, and I just love that. I'm just all about ticking boxes. If there's a box to tick, I want to tick it. So it's super fun. The other game I've been playing, and this is not a review title, it's just something I saw for super cheap. I picked it up, is paper.io. Have you ever heard of this before?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So my kids play paper. I don't even know if you call it paper.io or just paper.io. Anyway, there is a dot there. There's a whole series of these little games you can play for free on your device, your smart device. And in paper.io, you control a little character who is sort of a top-down view, and you have to create circles. When you complete the circle, the area is colored in and it's your area. It's like you're expanding your area. So then you go from your circle and you make another path. And when you connect back to your circle again, it expands. So essentially you're coloring in land to have the biggest amount of land in your color. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. It's a really fun game that on the smart device, and the kids have always enjoyed it. I've played it a couple of times with them, and I saw it, you know, on the Switch, and it's multiplayer. I'm like, oh, it's like $1 or something. It was on special, I think. It's not even expensive normally. I think it's $3, but it was even cheaper last week. So I'm like, oh, it's got multiplayer. Let's try this, because I don't think you can play multiplayer on your smart device. I think it's just with random people around the world, or maybe AIs. But you can do multiplayer on the Switch, and we thought that sounded really cool. So, you know, we jumped in. It counts you down from 10 to 0 before you start your match, which is a really long wait when you just want to just play. You're like, why is it such a long countdown? Just do 3, 2, 1 or something. What's going on here? I don't know. It's exceedingly long. And then it's not really the best adaptation, I would say. I don't recommend it, to be honest. It's very clunky. Like I said, it's super cheap. So, hey, if you're a huge paper.io fan, maybe give it a go. But it's the benefit, I guess, is that you don't have ads. Like if you would on the smart devices, you know, it's free with the, you know, caveat that you have to watch ads every now and then. So this version doesn't have ads. But the multiplayer side of things, at least, is very clunky. Once you die, you can't just jump back in, so you just have to watch everyone else. You can't seem to add other players. It's just up to 4, I think. And so the 3 of us were playing, and then maybe it was 4, I can't remember. There's a couple of AIs in there. They're very easy. But you can't do like online with multiplayer. You can't have like the 3 of us can't go online and play against people around the world sort of thing. So that's a real drawback. We thought we could just have like a mammoth, you know, event with lots of people. And you can't. It's just local only. And so that's a bit of a drawback. And yeah, like I said, once you perish, and to perish, you have to cut someone off while they're creating a circle. So you have a line that follows you as you go around creating your color. And if you don't connect with your existing color, you're just a line at this point. If you smash into that line, you're out, basically, and you lose all your progress. So but because you can't jump back in and you kind of just have to sit there waiting, it's just a bit boring. It's just not very exciting. We played maybe 5 to 10 games, and then I don't think we'll ever play it again. So that's a bit sad.
Do you still play it on mobile device? Is the just experience better there? Will you do it that way and not on the Switch?
I mean,
not the game at all?
I don't really play it, but the kids do from time to time, and they'll still play it. Yeah, they'll still play it. And there's other ones, like I said, I can't remember the name, but there's one you might be interested in, actually. It's where you are some sort of Godzilla-like kaiju sort of thing, a monster, and you eat cities and grow bigger and bigger. And the aim is to be the biggest monster, I think.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. But they're very, I mean, they're probably better off on mobile, I think. They're just throwaway games that you might just play while you're waiting for a boss. I don't know. It's just, yeah. I don't know. Why did I even bring that up? Because it was cheap and you know, if you're looking to buy it, maybe just don't. I don't know.
Even if it's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. I think I used points as well, so it didn't cost me very much. So I'm kind of, yeah. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, so maybe it's if you got some gold coins that are going to exp- well, the, wait, the gold coins don't expire, right? In your My Nintendo accounts, the
I don't silver know.
And platinum ones that do. So
oh,
I think
okay.
gold stays. Okay, yeah, never yeah. mind.
Yes, fair enough.
Save your gold for bigger things.
Yeah, definitely. But I think maybe you have a more exciting game to tell us about, which you mentioned a few weeks ago, but now you have completed. So how is Scarlet Hood and the Wicked Wood going?
Yeah, I finally, that's a game. It was maybe a month or two, maybe a couple months ago. I got it because it was on sale. It's normally, it's only a $15 game to begin with, but it was on sale for like $1.99. And I thought, I got to get this now. So I did. I played a little bit of it, but then all the other games coming out kind of pushed it aside. I finished some bigger games. So I thought I'm going to go back and I was like looking through all the games that I hadn't finished and picking out which ones. And that's the one I landed on. And within a weekend, I got all the way through it and was happy I did so.
Cool.
It's a puzzle game with some light platforming elements. There are some like dangerous moments where you need to avoid detection or get away from wolves that are chasing you. But the whole thing is it's an adventure puzzle game. It's based loosely on the tale of The Wizard of Oz. And I say loosely and maybe not that loosely. There's the premise is there's this, we'll say a punk rock character because I think that's how they refer to her. There's a whole story about her maybe getting a contract, but the band's not included. And so they get mad at her and then she gets sucked up in a tornado and dropped off in this place where there's this caravan of performers who need to get through the woods. And every time they go, there's what they call the Black Witch. I believe her name is Lafaba, stops them and kills Scarlet, but she wakes up back because of some spell. She wakes up back at the start. So she needs to get help in order to get past that. And the first person that she's getting help from is a pumpkin character. The second one is a Tin Man. The third one is a lion.
Right.
So obviously we're following the progression there of the Wizard of Oz. And with each, she goes into a new area each time. There are multiple puzzles that you have to solve. Then you need to figure out how to use the person. You need to use the person correctly in order to get the good ending, which I did not. But I didn't play it again to get the good. All the endings are okay. There's one like true, really happy ending. And after I didn't get that, I just watched it online because I'm not going to go through it. But if you like adventure puzzle games, then it's wonderful. It's got a good sense of humor. It's got the graphics are really nice, hand illustrated graphics. So it's fun. I'm glad I decided to go all the way through it. Sometimes you get these games, you play them for a bit and put them aside. And then by the time you go back, you don't even remember why you got it. And I'm glad that didn't happen here because I really enjoyed the whole thing. And I finished it in around 10 hours. So it's not a huge time sink, just a fun little puzzle game. And have a walkthrough ready. There are some that are really kind of obscure. What's the word I'm looking for there? So I did have to rely on a few walkthroughs, but otherwise had a good time with it.
Sounds great. Yeah, I love that. Sounds very interesting. I love the rock star element, you know, combined with.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned last time that you know, she's in this band, but like it's supposed to be a punk rock band, but she's got this huge southern accent, you know, when there is voice acting, which I don't associate with punk rock. But also one of the band members, there's like a drummer and then there's a clarinetist. So the whole thing is just like so randomly put together. That it almost is kind of like an endearing quality to it.
Yeah. I thought by the name that it was based on Little Red Riding Hood for some reason.
Yeah. The Scarlet Hood, although her name is Scarlet, she does have this hood that she wears that she can use that to hide from danger. Otherwise, I think it's just there to, you know, it's obviously a callback to Little Red Riding Hood, but there is no situation where she's about to, well, I don't know, when she is fighting, there is a wolf chasing her.
We'll
acknowledge that. Okay, there is a wolf, but there's no grandmother. She's not trying to get food to anybody.
So you could say it's loosely based as well. Little Red Riding
Hood. We'll say it's heavier on the Wizard of Oz connections than the Little Red Riding Hood, but it is definitely there.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Well, thank you for updating us on that one. And what else are you playing at the moment?
The other one, and I'm a bit embarrassed because everyone else has already moved on and quit talking about it, I think, but I finally went back to Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, right.
I had to put that aside for games like Pikmin 4 when it came out, when I was mm-hmm. reviewing it, and some of the JRPGs. So I picked that back up and started again and was really happy at how easy it is to get back into that game.
Yeah.
By which I mean, there are so many things to do that, like a lot of these games, when you get to a certain point, like let's say Xenoblade Chronicles, it's difficult because you're at a point now where the combat mechanism is very hard. You're up against the very hard bosses and you got to figure out, okay, what am I doing here? How do I get back into the flow of this? But with Zelda, with Tears of the Kingdom, there are so many little things you could do along the way that you really feel like you're playing the game and not grinding as you're building your skill level back up to be able to take on the bigger fights.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I had unlocked 4 of the companion characters that go with you.
Mm-hmm.
So the fights were already easier anyway, because I could rely on them a lot more.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was so much to do with the side quests and all these things that I hadn't done. I was just able to pick and choose which one seems the most difficult as I was working back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly got back into the flow of the game and pushed along, finding all the hieroglyphs, whatever they're called. Geoglyphs. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
collecting those. And boy, I was so happy because I did a side quest that got me the glider that he uses, now has Mr. Hudson on the back.
Oh, nice.
So I was very happy to look at my hero as I'm sailing across Hyrule
now. Oh, that's hilarious. Yep. Have you finished it yet?
Not yet. I'm at the point where I could. I just unlocked the last geoglyph.
Mm-hmm.
I got an additional tier that gave me some story elements, and now I can really push towards the end. But there are a whole bunch of things that I want to do first, so I'm including exploring almost all of the underground. I have hardly done anything down there at all.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massive.
Yeah.
As we all know.
And to illustrate the point, I believed that the whole thing down there, like everything was connected. And until this weekend, when I went down into one like tiny little opening off on an island somewhere, Eventide Island, I did that. And there was one there and I went down and it was just one tiny little section that gave me a really good accessory. So I'm glad it went down there, but yeah, it wasn't connected to everything else. I'm like, well, I've been wrong all this time about how that whole thing worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've done that one too. Yeah. It's not what I expected either. So my son Harrison has well and truly overtaken me in Tears of the Kingdom. He's forged ahead. He's got all 4 companions and then the next step after that, I don't know if it's still spoilers at this point, but there's a 5th person.
Sam did that, so I know what you're talking
about.
We won't go into detail.
Yes, and then he's done all the geoglyphs as well and got the Master Sword. He fought some version of Ganon, but not the final version of Ganon. It was like a shadow, what's it called? Is it Shadow Ganon? No, I can't remember. So I'm just like a little intimidated now because he's so far ahead of me. I'm like, I've seen a lot of it. It's like, I got a lot to do. I've got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, but you could also let him do some of it because he's already done it. So when you have a difficult battle, like, you finish this, do this for me. I'll take care of cleaning off the table tonight.
Yes. That's a good plan, actually. So yeah. He's spent, he's probably up to 100 hours now, I think. So he's doing quite well. It's moved up because we've both played it a lot. It's definitely ranking very highly in our list of Switch titles that I mentioned earlier. I think it's second after LEGO City Undercover, actually. I think it's overtaken Mario Kart and New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which is one that we also play a lot. So it's fairly cemented in second place there, and Legacy Undercover is under threat of being overtaken. So, well, yeah,
it's going to be a big day.
Yeah, totally. It's been there for years, because that's, you know, not a new title, but yeah, it kind of circles us back to our initial Lego discussion. So yeah, it's I mean, we did say Tears of the Kingdom when it first came out. We said this is the game that's going to be, months later, we're still going to be playing this game, and that is definitely true. I'm so excited to talk about our games of the year when that comes up at the end of the year. And I expect this will be on most of our lists. So, yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, I think there have been a lot of really, really good games. And Tears of the Kingdom is not my favorite of the year. It's, mm-hmm. it's certainly in the top three. But I can't imagine that there's just any way it can't be selected, you know, by Pure Nintendo as a whole.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to have it in their top three.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes. It's just made such a big impact. It's such a big game that you can spend so much time playing. And enjoying. And like you said, even though you can finish it right now, you don't want to. You want to do the side quests and keep going with that. Do you know what your hours are like at the moment?
I should have looked. I don't. I can't remember where I was when I left off a while ago, and I put maybe another dozen into it over the past week, but yeah. I don't know what it is. I'll be prepared with that information.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of love to give. On a bit of a side note also, you mentioned Pikmin 4. We have finished that as well now, which is really cool. And unlocked the extra, you said there was an extra mission at the end, which is now in progress. So little Ochi's not well. So it's, yeah, it's such an adorable game. I just love Pikmin 4 so much. It's another one that'll be up there, I think, for this year. For a lot of people, I imagine, for you and me at least. So, yeah, we'll have to make sure Trev, I don't think he's got it yet. So we'll see if he gets around to, that's going to be hard for it to be up in our votes if people haven't played it. So, yeah. And then for me, I'm guessing Mario, if it goes well, will be a high contender when that comes around. But still a few things to look forward to towards the end of the year. And anything else you're playing at the moment, or anything else you wanted to kind of highlight or mention before we close off this week's show?
I don't think so. I think this week I'm really going to have to start digging into more of our reviews. So I'll have more next week, pick up some of these the titles and get moving. But yeah, definitely I'll be starting up Myth 4 soon.
Cool.
You know, there is one other game I didn't finish all the way before I reviewed it last time, and I'll hopefully get back on that too, was Fatal Frame. Fatal Frame that was released all the way back. Hardly anything left to do in that, but I still need to do it, and I want to actually get to the end of that game.
Will that be your mission for the week then?
I'm probably going to remain hooked on Zelda for a little bit. It's not too far off.
Cool. Yes.
I got to wait till it. I have to play that game at night.
Right. Why is that?
First, because it's a horror game. It's scary, so it's more effective at night.
True.
But also, it's easier to see the TV screen.
Oh, yeah.
And there are a lot of things hiding in the background in this game, so you really need to not have any glare or anything that's obscuring the television. So
Fair enough.
Now that our nights are coming a little faster and it gets darker earlier in the evening, I'm more likely to be able to spend more time on it.
Yeah. Did you ever get into WrestleQuest? That came out in August.
I didn't. Really? I never did. I never grabbed it.
Yeah, I wonder what that was like in the end. Yeah. Haven't heard anything. I'll look into it.
I read one review. I did read a review of it, and it was kind of middling. They said it's good. It has its issues, but they generally enjoyed it. So I think I may watch for a sale on that, watch for a gap between reviews and bigger titles.
Yeah.
Try it then.
Definitely. There's been a massive amount of sales lately, so listeners should definitely check out the eShop each and every week because it changes and there's definitely some bargains you can pick up. So put them on your watch list and check out our website as well, because we do list the new games every week. And I think that's about it for me. So thank you very much, Kirk, for joining me this week. And thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you would like to support us, we are working on our next issue of the Pure Nintendo magazine, which you can subscribe to over at patreon.com/purenintendo. Also, check out all the many and great reviews on our website at purenintendo.com, and you can follow us at Twitter. We are at Pure Nintendo, of course. And until next week, thank you, Kirk. Thank you, everyone. And game on, everybody. Bye.